Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Our text scripture on this subject has been from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, from verses 7 to 10, in which we read Paul writing to Timothy and warning him not to waste time on things that are irrelevant, but to discipline himself for the purpose of godliness, because he said, "Godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds a promise for the life that is present and also that one that is to come." And if you read in verse 10, it says, "Because of this, we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe." Now, what we have been studying from there are the points that have to do with the matter of godliness. I remember defining godliness to mean the fact that we are walking like God. That is, the way God will expect us to do things, the way by which God ordained that things should be done. Because when he was making man, he said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, so that the man will be able to have dominion." That is, God created man to have dominion. God created you to have dominion in every aspect of life. He did not create you to be a struggler. He did not create you to be a fearful person who is not sure of what your tomorrow will be like. God expected you to have dominion. When he created man, it was after he had made every other thing, after he had begun to solve the problems of the earth, because the earth before that was without form and it was void. Then God brought man on the scene at the end of all the creation. He said, "Now let this man have dominion." Now, before that man had dominion, he made him in the image of God and after his likeness. I'm explaining something. That God created you to have dominion. He did not create you to be fearful. He did not create you to be afraid of premature death. He did not create you to be afraid of disease. He did not create you to be afraid of a family life, of marriage. He did not create you to be afraid of failure. He did not create you to be afraid of the economy. But he created you so that you may have dominion. What we have been experiencing in this life is, like Jesus said, an enemy has done this. Satan has corrupted the society for us so that we have become afraid. When we are going to sleep at night, we are afraid. When our children are about to go depart from home and go to a higher institution, we are afraid. When we're about to travel, we are afraid. When we want to do things, we want to invest in a new business, we are afraid. We want to do things, fear is suddenly everywhere. And the reason why fear came into existence, please listen to this, is because men walked away from godliness. You will notice something. After God created the man in his image and after his likeness, and he gave him dominion as a consequence, the first time fear came upon that man was when he walked out of godliness. Remember the story in the Garden of Eden. After Adam had disobeyed God by listening to the voice of his wife, when she suggested that he should eat the fruit that God commanded that they should not eat, which was as a result of her interaction with Satan. After they ate, the Bible says that God now came in the cool of the evening, as he normally will do, and he said, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam was hiding. Now, when God said, "Why are you hiding?" He said, "I heard your voice and I was afraid." Now, listen, that's the first time somebody was said to be afraid in the scriptures. It was because godlessness had been introduced into society. It was because sin had come into existence. Are you getting my point? So when we find out that we are afraid of everything, we are afraid of tomorrow, we are afraid of taking great steps. You want to start going into business, you want to grow into a career, you want to go into marriage, you are afraid. It's because sin has come in. And I'm preaching something again today, that anyone that will believe, God has not given the person the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is, God has brought the person back into the direction of dominion. And we are saying, listen to this, that this is how you enter into dominion. It is not just because you decide that I will not be afraid. No, sometimes the Englishman said that fools rush into where angels fear to tread. That is, a lot of people who are confident, it is because they are not even aware of what it is to be afraid of. It is not because they really have that confidence. It's just because they are ignorant. Now, I'm explaining a principle. What God designed, listen to this, is that we will walk in godliness and dominion will be the automatic product of godliness. Are you getting my point? That this is supposed to be an automatic product. You know, there was another scripture we read last time, and I think I should just review it quickly. That's from the book of Titus, chapter 3. Paul was explaining a principle then, writing to Titus. He was adjoining the people to be of good behavior. That is, Titus should instruct the people to be of good behavior, to be subject to authorities, to pay their taxes, to do all of those things, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. He said in verse 1, he said, "To malign no one, to be uncontentious, to be gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Now, they are supposed to do this because they realize that verse 3, for we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our time in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, that is in Jesus Christ, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now, why I brought this one up is that for us to realize something, that what God did in trying to bring us in the direction of dominion again is not just to teach us how to have dominion, all right, but to first wash us away from the effects of sin. That when we believe, what we experience is the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Now, that washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit comes because of our faith in Christ Jesus, so that God puts a right spirit inside us. He now said for us to be able to really, really conquer and become people of dominion. This is one thing we must learn, that once we have believed, we must be careful to engage in good deeds. That's verse 8. We must be careful to engage in good deeds. He said, these things are good, Paul said, and profitable for men. Now, I'm bringing this thing again, and I must emphasize it so that we'll understand what is really the truth about Christianity. Because a lot of us think that Christianity is a means of just getting things. Apparently, in these are days of Pentecostalism, a lot of things we have learned is nothing but selfishness. How to sow a seed so I can get something I want. How to pray against my enemy so that my enemy will die. How to use the fire of the Holy Ghost to destroy everybody that is against me. We center so much on selfishness and vindictiveness that we forget the main core of Christianity. And I'm trying to bring out something here, that godliness actually is what we are supposed to aim for. And once we have attained to it, do you understand? Then all other things are added to us. That's why Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 6, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added. It's not that we spend our time focusing on those things that are supposed to be added. Victory against our enemies, are you getting my point? The normal supplies of our everyday life. He said, these are the things that God supplies to the birds of the air and to the grass of the field, that we are not supposed to focus on them. We are supposed to focus on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You are getting what I'm saying? But he said, what should men do? Paul was writing to Titus, that having come to an understanding of our faith in God, having come to an understanding of the fact that we have been regenerated, all right, by the blood of Christ Jesus, by the outpouring of that Holy Spirit that has washed away all our former sins, we should now engage in good works. Now, I said something last time, please, I cannot say it enough, and I need to emphasize it, that this is what God does. Everything that will come out in your life, all right, is going to come as a fruit for a seed that you sowed. But I said something I want to emphasize again. It is not possible for you ahead of time to decide the kind of seed that you will sow so as to bring you a particular kind of harvest. So Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6, he says, sow your seed in the morning and at night don't hold back your hand. That is, sow your seed continually. You do not know which one will prosper. That's what he was saying. That I'm trying to use that one to explain the issue. What I'm trying to explain, that it's not possible for you ahead of time to decide the seed that you will sow for a particular kind of future. No, listen. What you do, the Bible is saying here, you do good continually. Listen, you do good continually. The Bible said that seed time and harvest shall not cease. That is, the man who continually does good, his harvest time will come. Especially if he does not get tired of doing good. So Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, don't get tired of doing good, knowing that in due season you will reap your reward if you do not faint. I'm explaining that the ability to do good, the inherent nature to be able to do that which is good, is what God called us to as believers. He's not teaching us, listen to me, he's not teaching us the methods by which we would handle our enemies. All right, he is teaching us the methods by which we handle our own sin so that we'll become good doers, that we'll become people that are doing the things that are good. He now said that if you continually do that which is good, eventually your life will come out, listen, with a reward. You will discover, I was talking about dominion, you will discover dominion coming into your life automatically. That is, if you do that which is good as a young man, you do that which is good as a single woman, you will discover that the dominion of marriage will come into your life automatically. If you do that which is good while you are serving your master, if you do that which is good while you are an apprentice somewhere, if you do that which is good as a student, then dominion over the economic problems of life will be yours automatically. But the mistake we make is that we want to sow a seed, all right, towards having a good job. So we'll go and look for money, package it into an offering envelope, and go and say we are planting a seed towards a good job. No, believe me, that's just a big joke being played by ignorant people. You cannot do that. If you want a good job, the only thing you can do is to ask God for a good job. Listen, I need to explain this thing because it's very, very important. Because that's what Bible, if you're going to read from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, that was what Paul was explaining to Timothy, that people have gotten the point wrong. They have now begun to think that godliness is a means of gain. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you read that, let me just quickly read it. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, all right, from verse 3, he said he was talking about those who reject the doctrine of Christ Jesus that has to do with conforming to godliness. He said the person is just a confused human being. And we find the problem with such people. He said, just jump down to verse 6, you will understand. Verse 5, you will understand. He said, these people suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Now listen, that is, they will give only because they want to get. They will do that which is right at this point because they have attached a reward to it. When they want to pray to God for a car, they suddenly go and give an offering towards the car. That is godliness that is a means of gain. Now listen, he said that's not what godliness is supposed to be. He said, but in actual fact, listen, verse 6, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Please, I'll develop this shortly. For we have brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of it either. He now said in verse 8, and if we have food and covering, that is clothes, with this we shall be content. He said, now, please, I want you to understand this. If you read in verse 11, it now told Timothy again, he said, flee from these things, talking about the love lust for money, the desire to reap a quick reward from one single act of righteousness. Are you getting my point? Flee from those lustful things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Now, I want to bring out an issue here. That's what I'm trying to develop. And that's the fact that godliness is not the means of immediate gain. You cannot just get up and say, okay, let me go and give this money so I can get this. No, you become a habitual giver. Listen to me. You become a habitual person of godliness. It is wrong for you to get up and do things only because of what you are going to gain immediately. So people think that this is the power of Christianity, that we should learn how to sow a seed and get a quick harvest. Listen to me, what God said, if you need anything, you should go and ask God. He did not say you should not do one single act so as to get it. You go and ask God. Pastor Banky, what are you preaching? You ask me. I am preaching that if I am supposed to be a giver, then I become a habitual giver. I am not a crisis giver. Who is a crisis giver? Is a man who gives only when he needs. He doesn't give because to be a blessing, but he gives because he needs. Now, listen to what I'm trying to explain here. What we are doing by godliness is to build a solid foundation. We are not in a hurry. Are you getting my point? We are not trying to get something good for ourselves immediately by a single act, but we are learning to walk in a manner that is pleasing to God continually. That is the purpose of godliness. I explained something at the beginning that, you see, Christianity is not a means by which you just learn how to get things. The aim of Christianity is to build people of a godly nature. Are you getting what I'm saying? To build people that have God's character in them. And what God did in trying to do this, see, was that he first took their former sins and washed it away. And then by renewing of the Holy Spirit, he created a new man inside everyone that we believe. I now said, these people that have created us will now get up and start exercising themselves in a new life of godliness. I'm bringing out something. For God, if we get a specimen of a man who has been thoroughly regenerated, whose sins have been forgiven, who is now walking in a manner that is pleasing to God continually, then Jesus has succeeded in his reason for dying and being raised up again for the sake of mankind. Are you getting my point? That is, the end with God, listen to me, is the person. Are you following what I'm saying? That is what God wants out of your life. You see, that's one thing allow me a few moments to correct it. Sometimes when we want to give testimonies as believers, we focus so much on what we get. We don't focus on the transformation that has taken place inside our souls. Let me give you an example. Talking about this money and giving thing. Somebody gets up and says, okay, I have a testimony. Last week, I was broke and then I took my last 1,000 naira and I gave it as an offering. And then this week, I now have 10,000 naira. Rejoice with me. And people rejoice for the 10,000 naira that he has gotten in a week. They don't rejoice upon the right thing. What is the right thing that should be rejoiced about? That I am able to part with the last 1,000 naira, even though that's all I have, because of my faith in God. That is what we should rejoice over. You know, something happened. At a point in time, Jesus sent his disciples out to go and preach. That's in the book of Luke chapter 10. And they began to narrate to him the things that happened, all the miracles that they saw, how they healed the sick, they opened blind eyes, the lame began to walk. They now said, even the demons, that is, the high point of everything was that even the demons were subject to us in your name. And they were really rejoicing. And Jesus now told them the things that were important. Now, he now said in verse 19, that you're able to do this because I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. He said, nevertheless, verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Get what I'm going to explain here. That you see, we must learn to lay our emphasis on that which is right. So the man who gets up and gives a seed of 1,000 naira and then reaps 100,000 after a few weeks, the Bible says he's not supposed to rejoice that he had gotten 100,000 naira. That he should rejoice in the fact that he has become regenerated to the point where he can give money and not be pained by it. I have found out one of the things that's very hard, all right, for you, except the Spirit of God works in people, is for people to be generous with no ulterior motive. It's very difficult. And unfortunately, a lot of times we preachers, we encourage it. We tell people that give so that you can get. Now, please, let me correct this. It is not right, it's not scriptural, that I should give because I want to get. If I do that, then I am not rejoicing in the transformation that is taking place in my soul that is making me a cheerful giver. I am rejoicing in the result that I'm getting by certain principles that I claim I have learned. And that is not the aim of Christianity. That is not godliness. That is selfishness. Because the Bible talks about the labor of love. That is, what God checks is the love that with which you do what you are doing. The Bible describes what he called the labor of love. I say when people give only because of what they are going to get, what they are practicing is what I have deduced from that expression in the Bible. I now reverse it and call it the labor of selfishness. I'm bringing out something here, that godliness is a target. So when God has transformed us and he has brought us to the level where we can be generous in giving, as an example, without attaching anything to it, then we have succeeded. And that's what Paul was saying when he said that godliness with contentment, that is, if I am content with the fact that I'm able to practice godliness, then there's great gain awaiting me. But if I'm doing it only because of what I am going to get, then there is a problem. What am I saying? This is how we build dominion into our lives. We build dominion by doing godliness. Listen, oh God, what I'm trying to lay the emphasis on and get everybody to grasp is that the target of life should be godliness. It shouldn't be the fact that I can get something if I do what is right. Because I've noticed this a lot of times. You know, people, maybe you are trying to teach women, as an example, how to talk to their husbands nicely and how to be submissive. And then we start giving examples that you see, there's this woman, she used to quarrel with her husband, then she became submissive, then her husband bought her a car. And then there's this woman, she was doing this, and then she now became a submissive woman, then her husband built a house and they moved into a new house. We describe the ways by which we get things for doing that which is right. Are you getting my point? In fact, I see it a lot. People want to encourage people to give. Say, oh, one man gave, he got a car. Another one gave, he got a house. One man gave, he got a trip abroad. Another one gave. We keep on describing the temporal gain for doing that which is right. Listen, people of God, that is not correct. Paul said, godliness must be accompanied with contentment. That is, if I do that which is right and it does not immediately beget for me quick results, that I am able to rejoice in the fact that I have learned to do that which is right. Even though it doesn't immediately get me something. Listen, the disciples of Jesus Christ, a time came in which they were preaching and then they were beaten and thrashed seriously for preaching in the name of Jesus. What do you think they did? That's in the book of Acts chapter 5. If you read in verse 41, after they had been flogged and ordered to speak no more in the name of Jesus and they were then released, they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, we like to testify that after I was flogged, then I got a new appointment. Where I was earning 10,000 naira before, they began to pay me 150,000. And we see that as a reward for being flogged. We immediately want to tie that present godliness, that perseverance in the midst of suffering, we want to tie it immediately to a reward. And that is not necessary. And that is not right. What the Bible says is that we lay a good foundation for tomorrow. Do you understand my point? And that's something I want to try and emphasize to us as we go on in these teachings. We lay a good foundation for tomorrow by continually rejoicing in the ability to do that which is good. That is, let me assume that you've been a chronic liar. And this is what liars do. They don't think about the fact. They think about the result of what they say. That is, if I say that this happened and I won't get anything, then I'll say the other one happened, so I may get something. Let us assume you have been a liar all the time. You will sneak out of home, or you will take money from your boss's account, or from your office account, and at the end of the day, you use lies to cover it. And then you have been prospering like that. Everybody has been seeing you living large, larger than what you are really earning. And then one day you get the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it teaches you what it is about truthfulness. Alright? And that's an arm of godliness. And having taught you that, you now go back to work, and then one day you accidentally do that which is wrong, and you own up instantly and say, I'm the one that did it. Let us even assume that you were suspended, and your salary was cut in half for a month or two. This is what a godly person does. He rejoices in the fact that I am no longer a liar. I used to be one. That's what happened to these disciples. That they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer, even though the suffering right now is not begetting them anything. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Please, let us divorce godliness away from immediate gain. Paul said that people think, and that's what he was saying in that book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. He said, the people who have departed from truth suppose that godliness is a means of gain. That's what I've been trying to explain. Now, notice verse 6. He said, but godliness actually, now listen, that is, when we have real understanding, when we look into the realms of the Spirit, into the depths of the things of God, we find out that godliness is actually a means of great gain when accomplished by contentment. I've already explained what contentment is. Contentment means that I have done godliness and have accepted my present lot as a blessing of God, even though it doesn't seem to beget quick results and breakthrough like we like to have. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, but this is the issue. He said it's actually a means of great gain. He said godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise for the life that now is and that which is to come. There is something that Jesus taught about building on a solid foundation. I'm going to develop that one again next time. Building on a solid foundation. See, immediate gain is the art of building on a shaky foundation. Please, don't forget what I was saying. I said that the way by which God leads us into dominion, it's by first instilling godliness. He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and then let them have dominion. The way by which God brings dominion into our lives is when he has first instilled godliness into us. Don't forget what I said. God created you. God created me. God created every human being to be a creature of dominion. Jesus came to reintroduce us into that plan of God. The thing that took dominion away from us was sin. The reason why there's trouble in our homes is sin. The reason why we are not productive in the things that we do is sin. Sin is not just the moral issues of life, but sin is when we walk short of God's standard, when we are not walking in the image of God and after his likeness. That is, how would God have done this thing if we presented it to him to give us a solution? When we don't do that, then we say we are walking in sin. And that is a thing that has actually brought failure into our lives. Those are the things that have made us short of God's glory. God's glory is that we should walk in dominion. God's glory is that when we sow, we should reap. When we plant, we should harvest. God's glory is that when I go into a career, I should make steady progress. God's glory is that when I get married, I should have joy in my marriage. I should have children in my marriage, and my children should grow and not die, and should become successful, and people should point to them and say, these are the children of a godly man.
God's glory is that in all that I do, I prosper. Are you getting my point? And that is what dominion is. And that was what he created man to be. And so to bring man back into the center of that plan, he said, let us reintroduce him into godliness. Are you following my point? And the first thing I'm teaching, all right, again today, the first thing he said is that of godliness with contentment. They must just learn to walk godly for the sake of being godly. Paul says something in the book of Philippians chapter 3. If you go and read the book of Philippians chapter 3, you'll see that what Paul was describing there, if you read down to around that verse 16 from verse 1, he was describing his former life and he was describing the goal that he now has for life. And what is that goal? He said that goal is that I may be conformed to Christ Jesus exactly. Now, that's what the Bible calls the Spirit of Christ. And that Spirit of Christ is the method by which God reintroduces the Spirit of God, the godly character, the nature of God that he created into the original man, into everybody. Are you getting my point? And that is by faith. Listen to me. I'm trying to bring out an issue here. That is, for us to have the dominion that God designed for us to have, then we must walk in godliness. Godliness. Are you getting my point? And for us to walk in godliness, we must come to the faith that is in Christ Jesus. It is that faith that is in Christ Jesus, through it, that God pours a spirit of righteousness and holiness into us, so that automatically the things that God delights in is what we begin to delight in. Listen to me. We are not going to church, listen, so that we'll go and learn the methods to become rich. Your friend came home last Christmas with a brand new car, and Christmas is approaching again. You want to go with your own, and you went to church, and somebody said, sow a seed, jump up, shout, cry, pray all night, and you will get a new car. And you think that is what Christianity is. Listen to me, you will be disappointed, because that is not what Christianity is. What is the faith that is in Christ Jesus? It is so that I can imbibe that new nature, that recreated spirit that God designed that I should have, to bring me in conformity with his own nature and with his own character. Are you getting my point? So that in life, I cannot become established in the dominion that God wants me to have. And that is what the Bible calls real gain. So Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said, godliness is actually a means of great gain. That is, I must accompany it first of all with contentment if I want to achieve that goal. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? What have I explained today? I have explained the fact that we must pursue after godliness and not do it for the temporal gain. We must pursue after godliness and not use as a method of manipulating God so as to get something out of his hand. We must pursue after godliness as a chronic part of our lives, that we might be established in it so that God's dominion may come out of our lives automatically. We have been failures long enough. God doesn't want us to be emergency breakthrough people, but people who grow up into the dominion that God planned for every one of his children to have. I hope you've gotten my point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.